Welcome to the National Gallery of Art Film Program, a podcast offering a deeper understanding of the art of film. A pioneer of first-person and diaristic cinema, Anne Charlotte Robertson shared her life through her Super 8 film work, a mix of essay, performance, and stop-motion animation. On May 20th, 2018, in conjunction with the exhibition Outliers and American Vanguard Art, Hayden Guess, director and curator from the Harvard Film Archive, introduced a selection of Robertson's early short films, as well as two reels of her five-year diary from the collection of the Harvard Film Archive, to whom Robertson bequeathed her films and papers shortly before her untimely death in 2012.
Good afternoon, and thank you all for coming. I want to thank Joanna. I want to thank Peggy for the invitation to be part of this really exciting and, I think, historic show, the Outliers show, which, as you know, identifies this fertile exchange between artists considered often on the outside and those more on the inside, between the schooled and unschooled artists. And this dialogue is, in fact, very active in the work of the filmmaker Anne Charlotte Robertson, who is showcased in this afternoon's program of eight films. Anne Robertson studied film making at the Massachusetts College of Art and Design, which is the only freestanding, fully state-sponsored art college in the United States, and as such has, and to this day, continues to offer, make an arts education accessible to those for whom it would otherwise be impossible. And this includes Anne Robertson, who came to really as discovered film before going to graduate school, and she started making work inspired by filmmakers such as Marie Menken and Maya Deren, who she discovered in screenings at local art colleges and such as Amherst and at the public library as well. And so she found her own path to cinema. And what we're going to see today are some of her early works that in which we can see her fascination with animation techniques and collage techniques especially. But Robertson is best known as a diary filmmaker and for her magnum opus, which is her five-year diary, a film that began, just as its title says, with the intention to chronicle 5 years of her life. But in truth, and it began in 1981, Robertson would continue working on the five-year diary for full 17 years and would create a remarkable work of 83 parts in 36 hours. Anne Robertson suffered from extreme and manic depression, and throughout much of her adult life was in and out of institutions. And she found in filmmaking and in diary filmmaking a vital form of self-therapy and connection with the world. So Robertson died in 2012 at the age of 63, and right before her death, though, she bequeathed all of her work to the Harvard Film Archive. I was very lucky to know Anne Robertson and to work with her. And so we have been working very hard to preserve her films and to make them available, and to also be presenting them in bringing them to new audiences, such as here today, and providing a fresh context for Robertson's films. Robertson, and I think the outlier category offers a really exciting and important one to sort of recontextualize, who reconsiders Robertson. She did find some success in her life. Her five-year diary was acclaimed by the likes of Jonas Mekas and others, and she screened her films at internationally. She was a tireless promoter. She would often make handmade posters and flyers, and the Harvard Film Archive also has all of her papers, and we can see the voluminous correspondences between different curators and cinematechs and the such. This was true really through the 1980s and 90s, but in the last decade of Robertson's life, she increasingly withdrew, and she really battled with extreme illness. And so it became increasingly difficult for her to make that work and also to give this concerted effort to promote it as well. But so we'll begin the program with a set of four short works. The first, a silent film called Pixelation from 1976, which is the very first year that Robertson is making films. And in this film, we'll see her interest right away in self-portraiture is apparent, her interest in the performance of the self, her interest in multiple selves. The next film, Magazine Mouth, is a really spirited and I think quite humorous collage film. And Robertson, while she dealt with many serious topics, including her own mental health issues, she also was, her films are buoyed by quite a remarkable self-depreciatory sense of humor. And one of her obsessions was her weight and her relationship to her body. The originally five-year diary was meant to chronicle her weight, and she would hold up cards saying how much she weighed every day just to try to obsessively track that. We'll see something of that in this film, Magazine Mouth. The third film is a really searing student film shot at Mass Art when Robertson was in her first year. And it's a motion study and a performance piece of sorts where we'll see Robertson's extreme instability being literally acted out and carefully measured by the lines on the wall. And then we go to a quiet meditative work called Going to Work, shot out from outside Robertson's window and from the nearby neighborhood in Boston where she was living at the time, not far from Mass Art. So we'll look at those four works. They're all being presented digitally transferred from the original Super 8. And then we will take a short, and then I'll come up to introduce the five-year diaries. Thank you very much. Oh, please turn off any cell phones, electronic devices. Thank you. Okay, we're now going to look at two reels of the five-year diary, Reel 22, A Short Affair and Going Crazy from 1982, and five-year diary Reel 80, Emily Died from 1994. Now, by the time of Reel 22, Robertson, who'd been living with her mother for some time, was now living by herself. Robertson lived much of her life either with her mother or alone, and yet she was haunted by the idea of Mr. Right, this enigmatic figure who she refers to. She was obsessed with the idea of finally meeting and finally finding this elusive man. Later on, she would become convinced that the British science fiction show Doctor Who, that Doctor Who was in fact Mr. Right, and she made a whole series of films revolving around the figure of Doctor Who. What's remarkable in the five-year diaries is the ways in which Robertson would experiment and try something different in many of the films, and this was most often true in terms of the soundtrack. While Robertson would record a soundtrack on film for many of the five-year diary reels, she would also often perform a live soundtrack when she was presenting the films. That is, she would present the films as a performance piece, and while the films were playing, she would speak into the microphone at the podium and offer a commentary, a kind of dialogue with the film. She would record these soundtracks and then often play them together, combine them with the sound on film and the recorded sound, and then sometimes in subsequent performances, she would add a third soundtrack. What we're going to see in the five-year diary reel 22 is that we're going to hear two soundtracks that we've layered when we digitized and preserved this film. She's also using a boombox with different songs that she's really just placing in and allowing for some sort of chance occurrences, and it adds quite, I think, a remarkable energy to the film. to this reel. The second reel comes from very late in the five-year diary project. Again, just two, it continues for 82 parts, so this is right towards the end. And it's marked by a tragedy, the death of Anne Robertson's niece, beloved niece, Emily. Nevertheless, in the depth of this grief, we see Robertson's unique eye for and talent in finding beauty in its rawest and purest state. And then we will go to a short work, My Cat, My Garden, 9/11, which is it's a diaristic mode, but it's a shorter, more contained work, and one that I think also shows Robertson's political engagement, something I think we see as well in Magazine Mouth. And then we'll close with a final work, which is Apologies, which is among Robertson's most important performative pieces, with her speaking directly to the camera in a litany, a recitation of apologies that tip from the comic to the obsessive, to the painful, a whole cycle of emotions which you, the viewer, are implicated as well. Okay, well, we should clear the theater for the next show, but I want to thank you all for being here, and thank you again.
You've been listening to a National Gallery of Art film program podcast.